Partly cloudy with a chance for scattered showers and thunderstorms tonight, low 69. Right now it's 82 degrees in Chicago.
WBBM, Chicago.
Don't touch that dial. This is Chuck Shaden inviting you to stay tuned for 2 hours worth of great radio entertainment on our special weekend edition of Radio Classics from WBBM in Chicago. It's Sunday evening, July 26, 1987, and on tonight's Nostalgia Night program, we're going to be tuning in to some of the best audience participation shows on radio, the Tommy Bartlett Show and Welcome Travelers. And we're going to welcome our very special guest, Tommy Bartlett, too. So pull up your imagination and stay tuned. It all begins in just 1 minute.
Is it hard for you to say no to alcohol and drugs? Does alcohol start your happy hour before breakfast? Has it gotten to the point where drugs abuse you? Ignoring it won't make it go away. Call the new treatment center. You see, DuPage County's largest medical facility, trusted Elmhurst Memorial Hospital, has designed the treatment center to treat chemical dependency with a proven biopsychosocial approach that's personalized. Because chemical dependency is a very personal problem. We protect your privacy by law and by ethics. A staff of medical specialists will see you through to the end of it with aftercare that's free as part of your recovery program. Consultation is free. If you need help for yourself or for someone you love, you can start by calling the treatment center's 24-hour crisis line right now. The number, 941-4577, 941-4577. If you can't remember the number, just call Elmhurst Memorial Hospital and ask for the treatment center for the help you need to say no for the rest of your life.
Well, we've been looking forward to this evening with you for quite a while, and certainly been looking forward to visiting with our special guest this evening, Mr. Tommy Bartlett. He started in radio at the age of 14. That was back in 1929 in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He came to Chicago and got a job at the age of 19 at the WBBM Air Theater in the Wrigley Building, Chicago.
Brings back memories.
Tommy Bartlett, welcome to Radio Classics.
Well, thank you, Chuck. I think I was 17 when I came here.
17?
Maybe I acted like I was 16.
Well, how did you get to Chicago?
Well, that's an interesting story. They had a program director here by the name of Bob Kaufman, and he came to Chicago. I was then, 15, 16 years old, working at WISN up there. And he got off the train, and I was interviewing people in the Union Station in Milwaukee. 2 hours later, he walked down Wisconsin Avenue, and I was doing a man on the street in front of the Riverside Theater. That evening, he went to an amateur show at the Riverside Theater, and I was emceeing that, and the following Monday he called me and asked me if I'd like to come down to WBBM.
He figured anybody who worked that hard had to come to WBBM, right?
Well, speaking of working hard, I once worked 9 years here without a day off or a vacation.
9 years without a day off?
That's right.
Why?
Yes, it's like the show must go on.
Uh-huh.
Why? I just love my work so much, and Mr. Atlas, who was the manager here then, and I guess he was part owner of the station before he sold it to CBS, he just treated me so nicely and kept giving me big shows. He once said to me, Bartlett, talent is 10%, the station is 90%. Stick with me and I'll make you a star. Well, I don't know if he did that. But I sure had a lot of fun here.
Well, how long did you stay with the WBBM then? You came here when exactly? Was it...
If I came here when I was 17, I was born in 1914, and I left here at the age of 27. I was number one in my draft board. And I remember Jimmy Stewart was number one in his draft board, and the CBS officials then put us both together on a coast-to-coast network show that night, and we talked to each other on the telephone just before the broadcast to find out what we'd say on this thing. He ended up, of course, as a brigadier general in the Air Force flying, and I did some work for the Air Force, but ended up as a pilot with Northwest Orient Airlines in the reserves.
In the reserves, I see. Well, you said you worked for 9 years without a day off. Were you afraid that if you took a day off, someone would get your job?
That's very interesting. Mr. Atlas was a very smart gentleman, and when I got a little bit too big for my britches, he hired a wonderful guy by the name of Tom Moore. And I was always under the impression that if I didn't do it, Mr. Moore would. No, I think I worked the Meet the Mrs. show and the Mrs. Goes to Market show and announced a couple of soap operas every day on the network. Mondays through Fridays. Then he had a Saturday schedule for me. And then he put me on a show called The Laughliner, sponsored by the Wrigley Company, which preceded the Jack Benny Show on CBS Radio with the Andrews Sisters, Jack Fulton, the Billy Mills Orchestra, a wonderful show, and that lasted 3 years. And he always had interesting things for me to do.
What kind of a man was he? Was he easy to work for?
He was a wonderful man, and he really backed up his talent. I used to break up on the air a lot, Chuck, laugh on the air. And then the program directors would bawl the heck out of me for doing this. And Mr. Atlas found out that the more they scolded me, the more I'd break up on the air. So he had them really scold me. I didn't know that he really got a kick out of it. He was glad to make the rebates to the sponsors. But when I break up and laugh on the air, he just loved that. So to encourage that, he had me scolded all the time.
He was happy to make rebates to sponsors.
Yes,
that
he was.
That is unlike any radio station owner I've ever heard of in my life.
I owe an awful lot to Les Atlas and WBBM. They really got behind me and showed a lot of faith in me.
Tommy Bartlett, let's go back to Milwaukee for just a moment.
Certainly.
Your first radio job, you were just a mere teenager, 14, I guess.
Yes, I was a kid actor, and I could also bark like 10 or 12 breeds of dogs. Fortunately, I can't do that anymore.
I'm glad you said that, because I was going to ask. We needed someone, when we play Sergeant Preston, we need someone to do a Yukon King with the dog once
in
a while.
How about that?
So you were a child actor in radio in Milwaukee then.
That's right, and I was at TMJ in Milwaukee, and Johnny Olson was there. Don McNeil was there. Tommy Coates was there. A man by the name of Stanley Morner. I'll ask you a question. Do you know who Stanley Morner is?
Stanley Morner. Oh, you can't stump me. That's Dennis Morgan,
right? Who now lives in northern Wisconsin.
He lives in northern Wisconsin now.
Yes, he does.
A famous MGM star. He's a big singer in the films.
He did very, very well.
And he teamed up with another Milwaukee fellow, Jack Carson, for a while in some of the... I'm trying to think what studio it was. Might have been Warner's.
Warner Brothers.
Warner Brothers, You never made any movies, did you?
Well, I had a marvelous article written about me in Time magazine. Mary Walsh, who later married Ernest Hemingway, became a fan of my Meet the Mrs. show on WBBM. And in the days today when you have press agents and all of this, this story was not solicited in any way whatsoever. She called me on the phone and she said, "You spell it M-M-I-E or M-M-Y?" And I told her. And the story came out 3 weeks later in Time magazine, and I was holding a WBBM microphone. And that was just a remarkable thing. It really set me on my way, that story in Time magazine. And things really began to break for me.
We're jumping all over the place, and we might as well jump some years into the future now for just a few seconds. And talk about Wisconsin again, and the thing that you've been doing for well over 30 years now up at the Wisconsin Well, Wisconsin Dells. I got my radio voice.
Well,
you
could say the Wisconsin Dells.
I couldn't cover as easy as you could, though. The Tommy Bartlett. Now I have to get this right. This is the Tommy Bartlett Ski, Sky, and Stage Show, right?
Right, and since you said it correctly, you've just won the solid gold speedboat.
This is the show that has been promoted on bumper stickers since time began, I think.
Well, Mike Ryko, the columnist for the Trib, once said, according to the bumper stickers we see in Chicago, Tommy Bartlett's going to be the next mayor of Chicago.
36 years. Entertaining Midwesterners, and I guess people from all over the country and all over the world
come out there, don't they?
And you give a wonderful show. I've seen it a few times, and I think it's exciting and marvelous, and it's still going strong, and it's new. Every season, a new idea is added, something deleted, something changes.
Yeah, this year we have a new laser show. We have 29 mirrors, some across the lake, some on each side of the show. And it is fabulous. That's all I'll say about it. We're so proud of it. People love it.
Now, how long does this show run? How long is the season? Season begins when? Around Memorial Day?
The 28th of May, around Memorial Day through the 15th of September.
So that's a pretty decent season, and it's all wonderful outdoors in the colorful almost the center of Wisconsin, isn't it?
Well, 60% of our people come from Chicago and Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes me happy that I have a radio and TV background in Chicago, because I see lots of my old friends.
When you started this show, it was the Tommy Bartlett Water Show, I guess, was the original name. Now we've become more sophisticated.
It was the Ski
Sky Stage Show. And even the Robot Exploratory is part of it. When you started that, you really kind of just said, I'm changing careers. I've done it on radio and television. I've had a good time with it. And now putting on this other cap, and let's do it.
Well, I'm a great believer, Chuck, that entertainers should cease entertaining more or less at the top of their careers. It's sort of sad to me to see some of these ex-big stars doing what I call secondary mm-hmm. commercials on radio and TV today. And I didn't want to have any part of that. Well, the ski show started as a hobby. And then 3 or 4 years later, that was the end of Welcome Travelers. So that was the end of my big-time television and radio.
Talking about your radio career, and we want to do that a lot this evening, there are listeners to this show who have never heard the Welcome Travelers broadcast, or the Tommy Bartlett Show, or Meet the Misses. Would you describe the essence of those shows?
Well, let's start at the very, very beginning. I've told this story a lot, but I'm going to tell it real fast. I came down to WBBM Chicago at the age of 17, and I was here a month, and I was on my notice they were going to fire me. Did I ever tell
this? Yes, you mentioned that to me, right.
Yes. And funny thing happened. I was in the announcer's lounge, and Marion Shepherd, who was in charge of the announcers, said, who's in the lounge? And I said, Bartlett. She said, get down to 205 North Michigan. To make a long story short, John Harrington was supposed to have been down there for an audition. He wasn't there. I went down and did the show. It was a Fun in the Studio show. That was the Meet the Misses show. John went on the air with it for 2 days the following Monday, and the producer or the advertising agency said, well, we like Mr. Harrington very much, but we think the little fat red-headed kid who did the audition, maybe we'd like to have him. So they had to unfire me, and that was the break that I got. Uh-huh. Just think, I was on my way to take the Sore Eyes special back to Milwaukee when I had that opportunity, and then Mary Walsh, the lady with Time magazine, heard me and wrote the story, and from there on in, I was just very, very fortunate.
We have. It's been fortunate for us that we've been able to listen to the things that you did on on radio and see some of those things on TV. We have a Tommy Bartlett show from 1947 up on the tape recorder, and in just a couple of minutes, we're going to be tuning into a broadcast from March of that year. This was an ABC broadcast, a sustaining show on ABC.
That was with Cogan's Orchestra and Skip Farrell and maybe the Honey Dreamers.
That's right, that's right. Can you remember the announcer on that show?
Yes, Tom Casey.
Absolutely
and
right.
He was marvelous. Whenever mm-hmm. I was on the air with him, I was fighting for my life because this guy was just marvelous, and he really kept me on the ball.
You felt you had to work up to his standards, is that it?
Yes, he was just excellent.
Okay, well, Tommy Bartlett, you stick around. And you stick around, too, out there in Radio Land, because we're going to have more of our Nostalgia Night here on Radio Classics on WBBM News Radio 78.
Catch it while you can. McDonald's has Coca-Cola, milkshakes, and orders of fries in larger-than-large super summer size.
Hot, fun summer in the city, when a big cold drink sure looks pretty. Cool milkshakes, great tasting fries, come and beg a super summer size.
For a limited time, only at participating McDonald's.
Super summer sizes at McDonald's.
Hi again, everybody. This is Rich King. Join me, won't you, for Sportsline tomorrow night here on WBBM at 7:06, live at the Ultimate Sports Bar and Grill. Our guest will be Jimmy Pearsall, no stranger to any sports fan in Chicago. After a career that spanned 2 decades, Jimmy has been a baseball broadcaster and now is a coach and scout for the Chicago Cubs. Pearsall on Sportsline tomorrow night at 7:06 on WBBM News Radio 78.
Chuck Shaden here with our guest Tommy Bartlett this evening on Radio Classics Nostalgia Night Edition. We're going to play a Tommy Bartlett show from radio back in, the specific date of this broadcast from Tommy's own personal collection is March the 6th of 1947. Tommy, this show came out of Chicago at the Merchandise Mart.
Yeah, Studio A. That's where Garraway at Large was done. The Breakfast Club was done. It was the big showcase studio they had in Chicago.
And ABC and NBC both shared the studios that were on the 19th floor, I guess.
Correct.
Uh-huh. Harry Cogan, who is the orchestra leader in this, was also the band leader for the Breakfast Club for a long while.
A long while. Ralph Martiri played trumpet on this show.
Ah, name dropper, Hugh. Okay, well, let's listen, and you can judge for yourself. How enthusiastic this man was and still is, and what a great show he had.
And how good Tom Casey is.
Tom Casey, too. Listen to the Tommy Bartlett Show.
The Tommy Bartlett Show! Tommy Bartlett Show, heard Mondays through Fridays with the songs of Skip Farrell, the Honey Dreamers, Harry Cogan, and the ABC Orchestra, plus radio's newest game sensation, What's What? The game everyone listening can play. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the features of this program is a young man noted for his wit, his great delivery, and his handsome profile. But enough about me. Here is Tommy Bartlett!
Well, good afternoon, friends. Well, right now, you at home and everybody here in the studio, we want you to dance while Harry Cogan and the ABC Orchestra plays Avalon, and here it is.
No, I didn't.
No, sir. That was Harry Cogan at Avalon, and now Tommy Casey. Isn't this silly? Now, Harry, it's time to pick out some ladies out of the horses.
Well, Tommy, this is Mrs. Atwood from Florida.
Well, hello, Mrs. Atwood.
How do you do?
And Mr. Straka from Oklahoma City.
Well,
and over here we have Miss Waxman from Chicago.
Uh-huh. Well, how is Mrs. Florida from Fort Atwood, St. Joseph, huh?
Just fine. I'm having a wonderful
Let's
time.
Let's see, you are a guest, aren't
yes,
you?
Yes, International Brotherhood of Papermakers. That's my husband. He's one. I'm just along
He's
for the ride.
Yes, sir. Have you ever hung any paper on the wall?
No, they make it.
Uh-huh.
I think I could, though.
You think you could? With that southern accent, you'd have to hang it on the south wall, isn't it? And here's Mrs. Straka from Oklahoma City. What do you do, Mrs. Straka?
Oh, I'm a farmer's wife.
You are the farmer's wife?
Yes, sir.
Where's the farmer right now?
Oh, he's back in the audience.
Back in the audience?
Yes, sir.
He's watching the corn grow up on the stage, I know. And here's Mrs. Waxman from Chicago. What
That's
do you do,
right.
Mrs. Waxman?
Just a housewife.
Wonderful. I'm glad to have you with us. You sorry you're not a housewife?
Well, that's right.
Are you glad you're not a housewife?
Uh-huh.
Well, now, I wonder if you three ladies would stand on this end of the stage, please, because we're going to have a little horse race. And let's see, here are three fine gentlemen. Yes, Mr. Lee Muldurney, nationally sensational 16-year-old jockey who started his professional career at 14. Mr. Don Gibbons, who's 17 years of age, who was seemingly born on a horse. And Mr. Billy Owen, who for 3 years has been the indoor steeplechase winner. And here they are right on the stage. Now, we're sort of going to turn the horses or turn the tables. When were you last on a horse, young fella?
Last night.
Last night. And did you go riding this morning?
Sure.
Fine. And you went riding this afternoon?
Sure.
Now, I'll tell you, the boys even bought, they've got their silk hats on and their silks on, and that's the smallest saddle I have ever seen. I think that'd be a little bit large for me, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir.
Now, I'll tell you, fellas, you've ridden many horses. How many races have you been in?
Oh, around 3,000 or 4,000.
Uh-huh. Mr. Cogan, you've ridden many horses, too.
Sure.
How many races have you been in?
About 1,500.
About 1,500 of them. Now, we're going to turn the tables. I wonder if you boys would get down on all fours, please. And, ladies, you put the saddles on the fellas. And we're going to have the ladies ride the jockeys, you see? Now, they're now attaching the... No, the saddle goes around the other way, madam. Yes, sir. Okay. Now, the jockey and the lady who gets to the other side of the studio first is going to be our what contestant.
Oh, well, I'll try.
You'll try. This is the lady paper hanger from the South. And just climb on, ladies, because we have to be... You can ride astride or side saddle, but we have to get going. Okay, here we go. And how about a little trumpet? You got the top? Here we go, and they're off! And I do believe the lady from the South is the winner. And let's talk to the winning horse just a minute. What is your name, please?
Walter Muldowney.
Walter what?
Muldowney.
Where were you born, Walter?
Chicago.
Right here in Chicago, and right now, of course, you're out at the Chicago Herald-American sports show out of the International Amphitheater.
Yes, sir.
And little did you know that you were going to be ridden today, did you?
No, I'm afraid not.
Was it exciting?
It sure was.
I'd like you to meet your jockey, Mrs. Guest.
It would.
Oh, it says Guest on your badge there, doesn't it?
Yes, I'm
all right, now it's time to find out what's what. And let's see, here's a jingle for you to work on. And it's congratulations to Clara Brandenburg of 1436 Howden Street, Muskegon, Michigan. And for writing the winning letter this jingle is based on, we're sending you a famous broiler. And we're also entering you into a second contest, that's right. And here is the prize that you're trying for. 3 beautiful table lamps, yes, 2 for your bedroom and 1 for the living room.
Oh.
Now that's if you're able to identify the subject of the jingle I'm about to read to you in 30 seconds or less. Now, if you're unable to identify the subject of that jingle, why, then both the broiler and the table lamps go to the writer of the winning letter upon which this jingle is based. Do you understand it?
Yes. Oh, I'm supposed to...
No, you're not supposed to look at the paper, no. You're supposed to tell me what I'm talking about. Here we go. Her name was Pocahontas, this Indian maid of old.
Princess. Indian princess.
Now, madam, I'm not finished. Take it easy. Her name was Pocahontas, this Indian maid of old. What was the name of her father, of which the story is told? What was his name? He had an Indian name.
Sitting Bull's the only Indian I can think of right now.
Sitting Bull? Don't look at Tom Casey, our announcer, when you say that. Please. Her name was Pocahontas, this Indian maid of old. What was the name of her father, of which the story is told?
I don't know.
Oh, it's a higher tone today, I noticed. Well, audience... Paul Hatton. Here's a man who knows. Oh, that's right. He's from Indiana. No wonder he knew. Paul Hatton. And I'll tell you what we have for you. We have 25 pounds of a nationally famous soap as a present for you.
Oh, well, thank you.
You're very welcome. Now you can both wash the walls as you paper them. And ladies... Well, thank you, Skip.
That's
ladies
right,
and gentlemen...
You.
We now want to present our singing star, Mr. Skip Farrell. A big hand for the Skipper. And I understand, Skip, that you have a tune that's just going to send the ladies from coast to coast.
Yes, it's sweeping the country right now, Tommy.
What is it?
You'll always be the one I love.
You do this to me every day, Skip. Here we are. Ladies and gentlemen, Skip Farrell.
Even though the
boulevard. I promise there will be no other arms for me. You'll always be the one I
a crooner for you on the Tommy Bartlett Show. That's Skip Farrell singing.
I wonder if you ever heard Bing Crosby.
Oh, he's the Crosby influence, Tommy Bartlett.
I wonder
there.
If he's still living in Chicago.
I don't know. I really don't know. Maybe if
Maybe
he's out
call.
There, he might give us a call tonight. This broadcast from March the 6th of 1947. Tommy Bartlett, that was a daytime show. What time of the day was it?
2 o'clock every afternoon, coast to coast.
Monday through Friday. Huh?
And when we didn't have Skip Farrell, we had a young lady by the name of Patty Page singing us.
Really?
She did pretty well.
The singing rage out of Chicago as well.
And by the way, the band did practically no rehearsal at all. They read all of that code.
Really?
Yeah, they rehearsed 10, 15 minutes.
Well, how much did they have? I mean, every day there's another show, so they didn't have a lot. And they were was that the staff band? Was that
the staff band
for the station?
And Ed Bailey produced that show, and Ralph Edwards heard the show a couple of times. And 2 weeks later, Ed Bailey was out on the quest.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, this little skit thing in here, the game portion of it, is close to truth or consequences or something we might have heard on People Are Funny, maybe. The stunts, I don't know which came first or which came later or whatever. It's kind of good fun. And you, of course, get to kiss all the housewives, right?
There we go. You know, I just thought of it. You know how we got that laugh at the beginning of the show?
No.
We had two suitcases. One was full of women's clothing, girdle and so forth. The other was full of men's clothing, a pair of tight-fitting pants. And then we'd have a race that Ed Bailey would stage with these people. And, of course, we'd switch suitcases so the women were putting on the men's clothes and the men were putting on the women's clothes. And that's what got the big laugh.
Oh, and that just it's timed just right so that
so it all comes up.
When it opens up, you get the laughter. Great stuff, great stuff. But we'll get back to this... Tommy Bartlett Show from 1947, listening with you listening in and with Tommy Bartlett with us listening in right here on our radio classics from WBBM News Radio 78. How would you like to get the lowest price plus a bonus on a new refrigerator or other major appliance?
Come to the Superstore, Townhouse TV and Appliances, Milwaukee and Oakton.
If you're shopping for the best buys in Chicagoland, don't miss Townhouse TV and Appliances Super Summer Savings Celebration Sale. Yes, the Superstore is celebrating this week with their lowest prices ever, plus bonuses on famous GE appliances. Listen, at Townhouse, buy a select model GE refrigerator with ice maker and water and get up to a $300 savings bond as a bonus. Or buy a select model GE refrigerator without the ice maker and get the ice maker as a bonus. There's bonuses for everyone at Townhouse. Bonuses on select model GE washers, dryers, ranges, even microwaves. Plus this week, absolutely free with any purchase, get a delicious super ice cream cone. Shop Monday, Thursday, and Friday till 9, Tuesday and Wednesday till 6, Saturday till 5, Sunday till 4. Townhouse TV and Appliances, the Superstore in Niles at 7850 North Milwaukee Avenue.
Come to the Superstore, Townhouse TV and Appliances, Milwaukee and Oakton.
This is Chuck Shaden on Radio Classics. We're here 7 nights a week, Monday through Friday from 8 until 9, Saturday and Sunday, sports events permitting, from 8 until 10. And we're here tonight with our very special guest, Tommy Bartlett. Tommy, we're delighted to have you with us this evening.
It's a pleasure to be here, and since it's practically half after the hour, can I give the old WBBM call letters?
Absolutely.
the WBBM Air Theater, Wrigley Building, Chicago. But it's really WBBM News Radio 78.
Either way, to have you give those call letters is a real honor for us.
Well, thank you.
To have here a true veteran of these of the 780 on the radio dial, I must say. And you're a long way from being 78, right?
Let's see, I'm 73 now. Could I bring back just a couple of memories here?
Sure, of course.
You know, you do the don't touch that dial.
Uh-huh.
Bill Goodwin, who was the announcer on Blondie,
mm-hmm.
and who was the announcer for Bob Hope,
right?
He was my idol.
Mm-hmm.
And here's how he actually did it. Don't touch that dial. It's time for Blondie, brought to you by Mellower, Milder Camel. That's the way Bill Goodwin did it.
Absolutely. And I stole it from him.
Good for you. I'm sort of glad you did, because I saw his wife, and I said, there's a fellow in Chicago by the name of Chuck Shaden who is doing the don't touch that dial in Chicago.
It's and when I do that, I'm really paying my respects to Bill Goodwin and the announcers from the golden days of radio, and trying to bring forward that little kind of a code word or a little part of the philosophy of the radio days.
There was
don't
Harlow
touch
Wilcox.
That dial. Oh yes.
Oh, the great announcers. There was who was the fellow who did the Carnation thing with Percy Faith? Not Hugh Studebaker. He was the lead on Bachelor's Children. I'll think of his name in a few minutes.
I
but there were so many wonderful announcers, and they don't have announcers like that on TV anymore.
Well, today we have, in quotes, personalities rather than announcers. The announcers really left radio by the end of the 40s. The announcer who would put his hand up to his ear, kind of cup his ear a little bit so he could hear his voice kind of bouncing back at him, and he, you know, would say, the WBBM Air Theater, Wrigley Building, Chicago.
That was the Truman Bradley type
of
announcer.
Right, right. And it was even though Franklin McCormick, for example, developed, of course, into a fine personality in the early days, he was that kind of a stand up in front of the microphone announcer. See, announcers rarely, even if they were doing a station break, sat down in those days. Is that correct?
That's true.
They stood up in front of a stand
mm-hmm.
mic, right? And the mic had the call letters on the side of it, right?
I'll never forget the first time I gave the Milwaukee call letters on WBBM when I was 17 years old.
Was that why you were waiting to
that
cool
was
your
one
heels?
Of the reasons. I was just too immature.
Well, you know, in this business today, people work at more than one radio station sometimes,
mm-hmm.
and the business is very fluid. Radio, television is too. Show business, I guess, is fluid, and you can be at one radio station for 3 or 4 years, and then you move to another radio station, and you move along, and you're giving call letters day in and day out, and then all of a sudden, from Friday to Monday, you're on another radio station, and any guy's fear is that he's going to give the wrong call letters, and he really works hard at not giving the wrong call letters until a couple of weeks go by and he's relaxed a little bit and boom, out come the wrong call letters, right? We've all done it.
You want to know the real reason they let me go here?
They let you go here?
Yeah,
okay.
Why I got that notice before Meet the Misses saved me. I was doing I was in charge of a remote, I think it was from the Edgewater Beach Hotel, and it was Horace Heidt's orchestra. And of course, Horace Heidt did all his own announcing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this was the third or fourth day that I was here at the station, and Horace did everything, including saying from the Edgewater Beach, the such and such room and so forth. And all I had to say was, this is, I suppose I'm not supposed to say this is CBS, but the whole thing, you know.
Mm-hmm. You can say it, that's all right.
I can say it. Thought all the stations would cut away.
No. All the stations along our network here, they won't.
So he does this whole half hour uh-huh. show. And then I got about 7 seconds before the network break, and I say, your announcer's Tommy Bartlett. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System. And I hadn't said a word. Well, this was building the case against me. And this was not the straw that broke the camel's back. But I was just too young for the job, and thank goodness John Harrington didn't show up at the audition for Meet the Misses.
Well, he did. He had a long, illustrious career here at WBBM.
Man. And he
and
never...
CBS,
He always patted me on the back. Mm-hmm. He was glad I got the break.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're glad you got the break, too. Now we want to get back to this 1947 broadcast of the Tommy Bartlett Show.
That was Chip Farrell singing You'll Always Be the One I Love. And here's Tom Casey with some happy news about What's What.
What's What each week offers you free 46 exciting prizes valued at $3,000. Now, What's What is a game with not one, no sir, not one, but two big prize contests, and it's real easy. Here's all you have to do. Merely send a letter to the Tommy Bartlett Show, American Broadcasting Company, Chicago 6, Illinois. Now, this letter that you write should contain some facts about an historical event, a famous person, or a well-known place or object. And each week, our judges pick 15 letters most suitable for rhyming. And jingles are written based on the facts in these letters. Now, if your letter is selected by our judges to be used, you'll receive a broiler. Three contestants from our studio audience will be asked to identify the subject of the three jingles each and every day. Now, here is a typical letter. This famous man started as a painter, but later turned to his hobby, electricity. In this field, he added much, the most noted of which is the invention of the telegraph. Of course, we're speaking of Samuel Morse. You write the letter, we write the jingle. Send your letter to Tommy Bartlett, ABC, Chicago. Now, you may enter as often as you wish. And remember, there are $3,000 in prizes each and every week. So drop us a line today.
Friends, it's time to select our second contestant for our game of What's What, and we'd like two lovely ladies up on the stage who love to drink milk. No, I think we want that gentleman up here. Yes, he looks like a super-duper milk drinker.
And you're from where?
Crown Point, Indiana.
Okay, Mr. Hack, and over here we have Mrs. Lundian from Chicago.
Why, hello, Mr. Hack.
How are you?
Very, very fine. I understand that you're celebrating your 35th anniversary or something today.
That's right.
Is that wedded bliss? Wedded bliss?
That's right.
Everything's right today, isn't
Everything's
it?
Fine.
Everything's wonderful?
Yes, sir.
Are you happy?
I couldn't be any happier.
Did you bring the little woman with you?
Oh, yes, by all means.
That's right, yes. And that's the lady smiling out there in the audience.
The blue suit, yes, sir.
Oh, she has a blue suit on. Oh, you mean the policeman back there near the door.
All right, yeah, now.
Well, Mr. Hack, what is your secret of a happy married life?
Well, always go 50-50. Settle every day's troubles before you go to sleep at night.
Very, very good idea. But that we all could do that. Now, Mr. Hack, how did you meet this lovely wife of yours?
Well, her mother was a friend of my family, and her mother took care of me when I was a baby, and as we grew up, I finally gravitated toward the little lady. There was no one else for me.
Ah, that's very, very sweet, Mr. Hack. And now, by the way, do you like to drink milk?
Oh, yes. I drink milk every day.
You're crazy about milk.
Oh, yes.
And here's Mrs. Lundian, who looks as if she enjoys drinking milk, too. How are you, Mrs. Lundian?
I'm just fine.
Now, what does your husband do, Mrs. Lundian?
Oh, he works at the Pullman Car Manufacturing Company.
He manufactures Pullman cars.
Yes.
Now, what I want to find out, are the uppers lower than the hires? Or are the hires lower than the lowers?
No, the lowers are just in between, and the hires are higher than that.
Well, that'll stop me. Now, here we have a large glass of milk for you, Mrs. Lundian. There's about a quart of milk in that. And there is a large glass of milk for Mr. Hack. Now, the one who drinks the most milk in 30 seconds is going to be our What contestant. He has less milk, do you think? Well, we'll put a little in his glass. There we are. We equal things up. Now, the person who drinks the most milk in 30 seconds will be our What contestant. Do you think this is going to be difficult?
Well, it doesn't look like it.
How about you, Mr. Hack?
It's quite an undertaking.
Now, there's only one little trick to this. We have borrowed some tablecloths from the restaurant downstairs in the Merchandise Mart. And you have to drink the milk through the tablecloth. Now, the tablecloth has just been placed over Mr. Hack's head and over Mrs. Lundin's head. And they are now going to drink the milk. One, two, three, go. And they seem to be doing very, very well. We have about 25 more seconds. Mrs. Lundian, you are terrific. How are you doing? Would you say something to us, please, Mrs. Lundian? They are drinking it like all get out. And Mr. Hack is almost the winner. Mr. Hack, that's right. Are you all right, Mr. Hack?
Okay.
Fine.
and we'll return the glasses to where they belong. And you are our What's What contestant, and here is a jingle for you to work on. And let's see, it's congratulations to Doris Pretty of 2332 Huron Circle, Durham, North Carolina. And for writing the winning letter this jingle is based on, we're sending you, Doris, a beautiful broiler, and we're also entering you into another contest. And here is the prize that you're trying for. Well, you are trying for a gorgeous silver fox fur, which retails for $125 that you can give to this lady for her 35th wedding anniversary.
Oh, that's something.
When you were saying, were you saying, oh, there?
I say, that's something.
It certainly is something. Here we go. An American inventor and engineer, they laughed at his first invention. But when he built a submarine, he attracted a nation's attention.
Lake.
I beg your pardon?
Lake. Mr. Lake.
Mr. Lake?
Yes, sir.
Well, now, maybe you could substantiate that. That isn't the name I have here on this piece of paper. But if you can prove to me that you're right...
Well, history seems to tell us that Mr. Lake built the first submarine.
Mr. Lake?
Yes, sir.
Built the first submarine. An American inventor and engineer, they laughed at his first invention. But when he built a submarine, he attracted the nation's attention.
I think his name was Simon.
You think what?
Simon Lake. I'm
well, kidding. I'll tell you what we'll do. After the broadcast is over, we will look that up, and we will decide whether you are right or wrong. We possibly could be wrong. In fact, frequently, we are mistaken. And so if that's true, you'll get your submarine. I mean, you'll get your silver fox. If not, then both the silver fox and the broiler goes to the writer of the winning letter. So folks, tune in tomorrow and see whether it's the lake or the submarine or what is it. Tommy?
Yes, Tommy, I'd just like to say to our friends in the audience that today this country is building the largest, best-trained, technically educated peacetime army in its history.
Going to join tomorrow.
Today's regular army is one of the greatest scientific research organizations in the world. It is constantly searching for and perfecting new methods and devices that will protect our national security as well as contribute to better peacetime living. It is a compact, carefully chosen force of skilled technicians, second to none. That's all, Tommy.
By the way, the answer that we believe is right is Robert Fulton. However, we will find out after the broadcast. I beg your pardon?
He built the steamboat.
He built the steamboat. Well, we'll decide tomorrow. Just bear with us while the Honey Dreamers have a wonderful song for us, yes? And they're singing... We will give him the fox fur right now. There'll be no doubt about it. Yes, sir. And we'll also send the fox fur to the writer of the winning letter. And right now, here are the Honey Dreamers with a song. They're singing for the first time today, that is, Zippy Da Doo Da.
Zippity Doo Da, Zippity A. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. Many a sunshine in my way. Zippity Doo Da, Zippity A.
Mr. Bluebird on my shoulder. It's the truth, it's actual. Everything is satisfactory.
Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. Wonderful feeling, wonderful day. Oh, when you're down and out, lift up your head and shout. There's gonna be a great day. Angels in the sky promise that by and by there's gonna be a great day.
It's actual.
Everything is satisfactory. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. Wonderful feeling, and what a wonderful day.
Thank you, Honey Dreamer.
That's Tommy Bartlett on the Tommy Bartlett Show, preceded by the Honey Dreamers with a nice arrangement of Zippity Doo Dah, broadcast from March the 6th of 1947. Tommy, looks like your staff got tongue-tied there, or their wires crossed on the Robert Fulton answer.
I don't know how
thing.
We solved that, but you remember the funny little remark I made on the tape of just before they did Zippity Doo Dah.
Mm-hmm.
This was during the time when I believe that no ASCAP tunes were played on the network, so for 6 months or so,
mm-hmm.
and so everything were the generic tunes and the ones in public domain, and Zippity Doo Dah was played about 10 times on every network.
And that's why you said first time today, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we'll get back to the Tommy Bartlett Show in just a little bit. You're listening to Radio Classics 7 days a week on WBBM News Radio 78. Tommy Bartlett is here, and I'm Chuck Shaden.
When I arrived on the scene, there were several...
On your station an hour ago, the houses that were evacuated...
I called NewsTip Hotline...
There is a new force in Chicago, a force to keep you in touch with traffic and news. It's the new WBBM Ameritech mobile phone force, a force of over 30,000 Ameritech mobile cellular phone users. If you've got an Ameritech mobile phone, now you can share traffic and news tips by simply dialing 211. Your call is completely free. There's no charge. And your call instantly rings our WBBM news tip hotline.
I got this flame pouring out of the side of the building. There's
cops all over the place. They're trying to talk her out of the house.
But join the new WBBM Ameritech mobile phone force. Just dial 211 on your Ameritech mobile phone and give us your traffic or news tip. The WBBM Ameritech mobile phone force from WBBM News Radio 78.
Hi there, it's me, your radio. Just station hopping to find a McDonald's Super Summer Size commercial.
We're serving up something big and new, a Super Summer Size Big Shake.
Kind of catchy, huh?
A bigger Coca-Cola, huge order of fries. That's why they're called Super Summer Size.
Are you hungry yet?
It's McDonald's Super Summer Sizes for a limited time at participating McDonald's.
So what do you say we go to McDonald's and participate?
That's McDonald's.
I'm Chuck Shaden. Our guest is Tommy Bartlett. And Tommy, as we're listening to this 1947 broadcast of the show that bears your name, that must be pretty nice to have a show on network radio with your name, the Tommy Bartlett Show.
I was very, very proud of it. And I remember I used to do, Don McNeil didn't want to work Saturday, so I had a thing called Wake Up and Smile,
mm-hmm.
which replaced the Breakfast Club on Saturdays. And I remember for this particular show, I used to hand out tickets personally to the Don McNeil audience as they were leaving in the morning. This was a little demeaning for me to do, and Don was always very good-natured about it. But when I got the big network TV show, and he never really did a big network TV show, why, he congratulated me, and he said, well, handing those tickets out to my audience finally proved to be worthwhile for you, didn't it?
Well, he's a stand-up kind of a guy. Yeah,
wonderful.
He really is
person.
A wonderful man. One of the things I noticed about this particular broadcast here, you were giving some gifts away, some prizes to contestants on the show, and they didn't mention the brand name. They said
that wasn't done in those days.
No Plugola or anything like that.
No Plugola whatsoever.
Today, if that's done, they always mention the source, and
I'll
and
give
it's
a belated
clear,
plug.
You know?
Those were Foyer Fox furs.
Foyer furs, yeah.
They get their plug how many years later?
Yeah, 30, 40 years later, right?
Well,
40
we,
years later, right?
We always credit where credit is due.
Another old radio line. We're
how
a little late,
that?
Folks.
Good night.
Good night. No, don't touch that dial. We're going to go back to 1947 and the last portion of the... And before we do this, I want you to pay attention at the very end. Tommy Bartlett has some very warm closing remarks to make on this, and it demonstrates, I think, Tommy, your personal character and your love affair with your audience on this.
I'm very proud of. We call those the serious spots, and they were written by just a wonderful guy by the name of Paul Larmer, and I do hope he's listening tonight.
It's very nice as we go back now to the Tommy Bartlett Show.
Deputy Duda, I think that's going to be a great hit on the hit parade. I really do. Yes, sir. If it's just played a little more often. And now it's time to decide our third contestant for our game of What's What. And this is going to be lots and lots of fun because we have a young lady here, Mrs. Hillary, from Darlington, Wisconsin. How are you, Mrs. Hillary?
Just fine.
Are you real happy today?
Yes, I am.
Uh-huh. Have you had much experience with music, Mrs. Hillary?
Oh, I've had some. I used to teach a little piano lessons and a few things.
You teach little piano lessons?
Yeah, little ones.
That's not a baby grand, eh?
That's right.
And here's Mrs. Colette from Omaha, Nebraska.
What's Coletti.
Mrs. Colay?
Coletti.
Mrs.
Coletti.
Gee, you've got three names, haven't you? Well, Mrs. Coletti, what brings you to Chicago?
Just visiting.
Just
I came
visiting.
On a Good Samaritan trip.
Well,
I'm going back tomorrow.
Well, we're glad to have you with us. Do you play a musical instrument, perchance?
Not very good.
Not very well. Well, you're just the person we're looking for. If you'll turn around, you'll find, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 members of Mr. Harry Cogan's famous ABC Orchestra. Now, do you know how Yankee Doodle goes, Mrs. Hillary?
I think so.
Would you just hum it for me briefly? Shostakovich has written a new symphony.
Mrs.
Yeah, that's the one I met. Yes, I wonder if you'd Hank hum Yankee Doodle for me, would you, Mrs. Collins? Now here we have a musical keyboard. I wonder, gentlemen, if you would sound off, would you please? You see how perfectly tuned they are, you know that? Now, as you point to these various men, I wonder if you turn around and face these gentlemen. I'll give you a little hint. The first note that you should hear is the fifth from the left. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, which is Mr. Ralph Martiri, our famous trumpet player. Now, by pointing to the various men, you can play Yankee Doodle. Now, of course, if you're wrong, then we're going to hear Shostakovich again, you see? All right, now, point at him first, and then pick out any other, and see if you can figure it out. And you're going to be first, Mrs. Hillary.
Hillary.
Yes, okay.
How far do I have to go?
Well, she hasn't done very well, has she? How about Mrs. Coletti? Let's see if you can play Yankee Doodle using our human keyboard. Oh, you ladies are doing very poorly. I wonder, young fella, if you'd come up here, would you please? Now, here we have a little 4 or 5 year old boy. Let's see if he can do this. What's your name, sonny?
Carl.
Carl what?
Licata.
Carl Licata. How old are you, Carl?
Six.
Six years?
I'll be six in March.
You will. Do you like musicians?
No.
Well, you're going to lead the band now. Here is little six-year-old Carl Marcarta, and let's see if he can point out Yankee Doodle. Contestant, here's a jingle for you to work on, and it's congratulations. Let's see, it's congratulations to Judy Carnino of Black Diamond, Washington. And for writing the winning letter this jingle is based on, we're sending you, Judy, a broiler, and we're also entering you into a second contest. And here, Carl, is the prize that you're going to try for, a $50 cold wave permanent. Would you like to have a permanent wave? Well, you got to say yes or no?
Yes.
You would? Okay, now if you can tell me what these things are, why, you're going to run home with a wonderful permanent wave. If not, why, the permanent wave plus the broiler will be sent to the writer of the winning letter out there in Black Diamond, Washington. Now listen closely. This is very easy. Pestilence, war, famine, and death were loosed on our world once more. Belasco wrote of these scourges of men. And what did he call these four? Have you any idea?
Four horsemen.
Why are you all horsemen? Here for you is a swell tube of shaving cream, because you are such a precocious young man, I'm sure that even though you're sick, you're going to start shaving tomorrow. Thank you very, very much, young fellow.
Don't forget, send your letter to Tommy Bartlett, ABC, Chicago. Now, all letters received this week will be eligible for next week's contest. All entries remain the property of the American Broadcasting Company, and none can be returned. Decision of the judges will be final, and in case of ties, duplicate prizes will be awarded. So send your letter to Tommy Bartlett, ABC Chicago. It's easy, so do it today. And now, here is Tommy. Did you ever hear someone say, "Gee, I wish I were on Easy Street"? To reach our goal in life, isn't it just as easy to take the straight and narrow path? When you're driving an automobile, did you ever have someone ask, "Are you sure you're going in the right direction?" Isn't it better to ask the way once than lose that way twice? Do we all have to be in the driver's seat? Doesn't the person who takes the back seat get there just as fast as the driver? Is Easy Street paved with gold, or is it paved with heartache? Don't people who use it for an avenue of escape find themselves in a blind alley with a back door leading to a broken home? And tell me, would there be so many human wrecks at the crossroads of life if more folks would just stop, look, and listen? And doesn't the world's most expensive automobile have brakes on it? And because a man won't trudge down life's highway and wants to speed on Easy Street, does it mean that he'll get there any quicker? Isn't real success in life judged not by how far a man has gotten, but by how far he had to come? And didn't many a president of the United States begin his trip to the White House by walking down a country road? And must we never forget the boys who laid down their lives along the jungle paths of Bataan and the highways of Normandy so that we now walk in safety down any street in our beloved land? Tommy Bartlett Show, Skip Farrell, the Honey Dreamers, and Harry Colgan and the orchestra. Tom Casey speaking. The Tommy Bartlett Show is produced by Lou Perkins and written by Paul Larmer. And the movie's Wanna Buy His Life Story. But Alcatraz won't sell. This program came to you from Chicago.
And that's the Tommy Bartlett Show. Want to buy your life story, huh? Alcatraz won't sell. Is that right, Tommy?
Again, I would like to credit Paul Larmer. He's the right to the news.
Yes. March the 6th of 1947. Well, we're going to take a little bit of a break for some business and the news, and then we'll be back. And I'll tell you what, if you would like to talk to Tommy Bartlett, talk about Welcome Travelers, and we're going to hear a whole show from 1953 in the next hour. I'd like to talk to Tommy Bartlett about anything, about the good old days of radio, what he's doing now, what he has been doing. You can call us here at 591-7878. That's our Radio Classics number tonight, 591-7878. Just give us a call, and we'll take some calls for a little while right after we take a little bit of break. Before, I'd like to tell you about an outstanding book for fans of old-time radio. It's called Radio's Golden Years, and it's great. It's an encyclopedia of radio programs from 1930 to 1960. Radio's Golden Years by Vincent Terrace is a detailed history of radio programs and performers. 1,500 vintage shows are listed and described. Each entry provides cast lists, storyline information, announcer and music credits, sponsors, network, and date of first broadcast. And there's loads of wonderful photographs scattered throughout the book. It's a great reference. I recommend it. Radio's Golden Years is a hardcover 300-page encyclopedia that sold for $17.95. But now it's out of print. We have a limited number of copies available for only $10.95 plus tax at Metro Golden Memories, 5425 West Addison Street, 2 miles west of the Kennedy Expressway in Chicago. Or you can order Radio's Golden Years by mail. Send $10.95 plus $3 for shipping and handling. That's $13.95 to Radio's Golden Years, Box 421, Morton Grove, Illinois, 60053. You'll be glad to have this encyclopedia from
1930 to 1960 radio in your own library. Sure to get your copy before they're all gone. $10.95 plus tax at Metro Golden Memories in Chicago, or by mail when you send $13.95 to Radio's Golden Years, Box 421, Morton Grove, Illinois, 60053. I'm Chuck Shaden. You're listening to Radio Classics from Chicago on WBBM News Radio 78.
Hi, this is Dave Baum. Got some problems with the kids, Mom and Dad? Hey, kids, you have some problems with your parents? If you do, join us tonight when we spend some time with nationally known child and parent expert, Dr. Dan Kiley. It's also a big day for Billy Williams, his induction into baseball's Hall of Fame. And we'll hear what he says at Cooperstown. Add our regular Who's Who in the News, plus open line, and you've got a winner tonight. The only live game in town, the Dave Baum Show on WBBM News Radio 78.
Good evening, everyone. This is Alan Bickley on WBBM News Radio 78 in Chicago. In the news headlines tonight, the Chicago Housing Authority Board held a special emergency meeting today. Executive Director Brenda Gaines briefed board members on the status of discussions with the Department of Housing and Urban Development. On his way into the meeting, CHA Chairman B. Herbert Martin said he could conceive of a partnership type of cooperation with HUD. An explosion leveled a south side house, leaving a man in critical condition with burns. Police are searching the rubble for another victim who might have been in the house at the time of the explosion. A South Suburban teenager is dead, the victim of a drowning at the Warren Dunes State Park in Michigan. Rockford, Illinois has the dubious distinction of ranking in the bottom 10 in Money Magazine's listing of the best places to live in America. Nashua, New Hampshire was selected as the top place to live. The survey appears.
Cooperation with HUD. An explosion leveled a south side house, leaving a man in critical condition with burns. Police are searching the rubble for another victim who might have been in the house at the time of the explosion. A south suburban teenager is dead, the victim of a drowning at the Warren Dunes State Park in Michigan. Rockford, Illinois has the dubious distinction of ranking in the bottom 10 in Money Magazine's listing of the best places to live in America. Nashua, New Hampshire was selected as the top place to live. The survey appears in the magazine's August edition. Norwalk, Connecticut was second, and Wheeling, West Virginia was third in the survey, which placed extra weight on factors such as safety, the weather, and the local economy. In sports, the White Sox lost to the Yankees 5-2. The Cubs also lost to the Dodgers 7-6. And former Chicago Cub Billy Williams was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Weather tonight's going to be partly cloudy with a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms and a low near 69 degrees. Tomorrow, variably cloudy, warm and humid, with a chance of scattered showers and a high near 86, but cooler near the lake. Then on Tuesday, partly cloudy and cooler, with a high near 84, but again cooler at the lakeside. Winds northeasterly 5 to 10 miles per hour tonight, and northeasterly to easterly at 7 to 12 on Monday. It's 72 degrees at O'Hare Field, 73 at Midway, and 73 on the lakefront. The skies are clear, the wind north at 9 miles per hour, and the temperature humidity index is 70. This is Alan Bickley, News Radio 78.
And this is Chuck Shaden. We're back with our Nostalgia Night edition of Radio Classics from WBBM. Our guest is Tommy Bartlett, and he's been with us since we signed on at 8 o'clock. And Tommy, it's a joy to have you with us this evening. I really appreciate your being here.
It's such a pleasure to be here, and it's such a thrill to see what Alan Bickley looks like. I listen to him all the time.
All right. So, see, did people often tell you that you did or you didn't look like you sound? They must have told you one thing or another. Well, how did they react to you when they met you in person?
I guess they were horrified.
Oh, no.
I see what you mean. I must be honest, that's never come up that you look like you sound or you don't look like you sound. I've never had that.
People will say to me, you don't look the way you sound. And I think they'd say that to Alan Bickley as well. Alan, open your mic and tell us. Have people come to you and say you look like you sound or you look different?
They say some remarkable things. First of all, they say, I thought that you had dark hair.
Mm-hmm. You have a dark hair.
You have light hair.
Light hair.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Born a blonde, yeah.
Uh-huh.
He's got a sunburn, too. Sunburn.
Yeah, I just got back from Wisconsin, so I have the sunburn with me. I have a Door County look now. But, almost no one looks the way they sound, according to the people who listen.
I think that Ken Nordine looks like he sounds.
Ken Nordine does look like
he
sounds,
does.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, we're going to see what some of our listeners look like, because we've got a number of them on the radio. Bruce is on the line. Bruce, where are you from?
Are you there, Bruce?
Mr. Shaden.
Yes, how are you, Bruce?
Pretty good. Am I on the air?
You're on the air right now.
I can answer a question. Because my grandmother grew up with a family in Chicago. And I want to ask Mr. Bartlett a question, too, because I was a youngster, and I used to see that Brewster boy, which nobody's ever heard about, but came from WBBM.
I remember that. What's your first name?
The first one, though, the announcer on the Carnation Contented Hour for Mr. Bartlett, I think, was Vincent Pelletier.
Vinny Pelletier. That's the
am I right?
You are absolutely
okay,
right.
Okay, my grandmother knew the family.
What's your first name?
Not. Pardon me?
What's your first name?
My first name is Bruce.
Good
Bruce
evening.
Miller.
Good evening, Bruce.
Thank you. And I was a youngster, and you were, you know, doing those programs, but I was so young, I had to have permission to see that Bruce DuBois came from Studio 10 in the Wrigley Building, WBBM.
Yes.
Okay. But whatever happened to a man, I think he was probably, whatever you call a staff announcer, he's on the staff, Ed Roberts. He used to announce that. Did you know him?
Ed Roberts, yes, I knew him very, very well. And where he is today, I don't know. Chuck,
he recently retired. I think he, I'm not sure where he retired to, but didn't Ed Roberts used to do some of the Crisco commercials on Vic and Sade?
Right, right.
Uh-huh. But I don't know where he's at now.
No.
I believe he has retired, though. He had a brother, Howie Roberts, too,
correct,
who was a radio announcer in Chicago.
Is Mr. Pelletier still living, or?
That's what I was interested. It would be nice if somebody called us to say whether Vince was...
That's, you know, that's all I can help you with. That's as far as I could go.
How about Tom Casey?
No, I didn't know him, no. I mean, I was going to school at the time, sir. So
okay. Thanks very much, Bruce. We appreciate it.
Good
talking
to you.
Thanks for calling.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk with Bill now, and Bill is on another line. Hello, Bill. Are you there?
Yes, I am, Chuck.
And what can we do for you this evening?
Well, I have something for Mr. Bartlett. Many, many years ago, a couple of friends of mine and I used to come down to see the program whenever we could. And he used to tease poor Tom Casey so that we decided to start the Tom Casey Fan Club.
Great.
And we made up little ribbons and brought them down to the studio and presented it to one to him and one to Mr. Bartlett on the air.
I remember this.
You do?
Yes, sir.
Well, since then I've often wondered what happened to Tom Casey.
Well, we'll have to call the Environs over in the Merchandise Mart and find out, and then I'll give Chuck Shaden a call. I have a feeling he may no longer be with us.
I see.
But I certainly hope he is.
Thanks, Bill. We appreciate your call.
Thanks.
And now we're on the air with Chris from Glen Ellen. Hello, Chris.
Two questions to ask.
Yes.
One for the guest.
Uh-huh.
I was wondering what your favorite... Did you have a favorite radio show at the time you worked at ABC or...
I guess my idol for radio shows was the Bob Hope Show, and I particularly like that because of Bill Goodwin's Don't Touch the Dial voice.
Mm-hmm.
And my second question was for Mr. Shaden was, do you know of any shows that were sponsored by Studebaker Corporation?
The Studebaker Corporation?
You mean the automobile?
Yeah.
Gee, offhand, I can't think of any shows that had full sponsorship for Studebaker. That's a very good trivia question. I can't think of anything any show sponsored by Studebaker.
I remember the actor announcer Hugh Studebaker, who was the lead in Bachelor's Children.
Mm-hmm. He was Silly Watson on the Fibber McGee and Molly show. Also, Hugh Studebaker. I had an opportunity to meet him some years ago. We've since lost Hugh, but of course you're talking about the automobile. That
I'm related to one of the first brothers who started it. Great, 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 great uncle.
The car itself, when it came out, the post-war Studebaker got a lot of ribbing on radio shows like the Bob Hope program because it had a kind of a nose in the front and a nose in the back, and they had a lot of gags about which way they didn't know which way whether it was coming or going and that sort of thing. Chris, I don't know if any if there were any shows sponsored by that. I may have in my collection at the Museum of Broadcast Communications a commercial or two of Studebaker Automobiles. And if you will give our producer Jane Broder your telephone number, I'll check it out and then I'll give you a call on the next week. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Chris.
All right.
Thank you. And now we're talking to Marcus from the Hyde Park area.
Yes, hello, Mr. Bartlett and Mr. Shade.
Good evening.
I have one question for Mr. Shade. I don't know if you remember from about 3 years ago I interviewed you.
You interviewed me?
It was about 3 years ago.
Maybe so.
And also,
for a high school newspaper?
No, I was in fourth grade. It was for class.
Oh, yes, Marcus, I remember now, right.
Yeah.
How did you do on that paper?
I got an A.
Terrific.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And also, I was wondering, Mr. Bartlett, where you got the idea for people to send in their letters and give contest ideas and for you to give them prizes for the best one? Where did you get that idea from?
We stole that from Truth or Consequences.
Oh.
Do you remember that show with Ralph Edwards?
Yeah, I heard it once before. And also, I've been to Wisconsin Dells lots of times.
Oh.
And I've wondered, are you planning to make any new attractions out there?
Well, not new attractions, but we have new things at our attractions every year, such as this year we have our laser show.
Pardon?
We have a laser show. Do you know what laser stands for?
Yes. Well, I know what it is, but I don't know what it stands for.
Well, it's an acronym, and I've forgotten what it is, but I thought maybe you'd know that.
No.
Well, I'll tell you what, Marcus, you do a paper on it, you might get an A.
Maybe.
Okay, and when you get out to the Wisconsin Dells and see the Tommy Bartlett show there, ask for Mr. Bartlett. I'm sure he'd say hello in person, too.
You ask for me or Mr. Deal.
Okay.
And then you be our guest, and you give the young lady on the phone your last name so that we'll know it's you actually wanting the free tickets.
All right.
Pretty good. Okay, Marcus, thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
This is Chuck Shaden. Tommy Bartlett's our guest this evening on Radio Classics Nostalgia Night from WBBM News Radio 78. We're taking some calls for Tommy at 591-7878, and we're on the air now with Richard from Oak Park. Hello, Richard.
Hello, Tommy.
Good evening, Richard.
I used to live in Chicago at 612 Leamington, and you had some friends right across the street, the Jacobsons, I think. There was a fellow and a girl, and she later became an Army officer. She was on a lottery field, I think, a dietitian, I heard.
Yes, and he worked for an art studio.
Pardon me?
The Jacobs worked for an art studio.
And
they had Aaron Bullard.
Street. You used to drive up in that Lincoln Continental in 19...
You're bringing back memories.
Oh, that Lincoln Continental. Do you have it?
Unfortunately, not. But,
it
first
was
two
a
that...
beautiful car, and all the kids on the street admired it, and it's good to know that you're in the good health that you are up
Thank
there.
Thank you, sir.
I get up to Minneapolis, so when I get up there later on next month, I'm going to go make a point of stopping over to where you're at over there in Wisconsin and seeing your show. I've always wanted to see it.
Well, be sure to ask for me, and I hope I'll have the pleasure of meeting you.
Tommy?
Yes, sir.
The best of luck to you.
Thank you, sir.
And thank you for calling, Richard. Now we're going out to Elmhurst, where we're going to say hello to Bill.
Yes.
Go ahead, Bill.
Okay.
Good evening. Hi, Bill. You're on the air.
Okay. Hi.
Turn your radio down and ask your question. What can we do for you, Bill?
Sure to turn the radio down.
I'm here to say, I was wondering, who did the original door for the Fumigi and Molly show?
Well, that probably was one of the NBC sound effects men, and maybe Chuck knows
sure.
who that was.
I don't know who it was, but it came out. The door first opened in Chicago. The closet door opened in Chicago, and there were a number of sound effects men who worked on
it.
I
remember Johnson over there very well. Maybe it was Mr. Johnson
okay.
who did that.
I was wondering because one time I made a visit to the Chicago History Museum,
mm-hmm.
and they had a special exhibit on the radio, and I played the last piece out of the door. We did a tape recording of it.
Is your name Richard?
No.
Bill. This is Bill.
Well, this is Bill. Yeah. Well, if you were Richard, we'd say, well, I'm not
no,
going to say
it.
Open the door, Richard. Okay, Bill. Well, listen, Bill, I know that's at the Museum of Science and Industry where they had at one time a sound effects exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
You should stop also at our new Museum of Broadcast Communications at 800 South Wells and ask to see the sound effects machine that makes wind. There's a wind sound machine over there that you can create sound yourself.
You turn a crank.
You turn a crank and there's a canvas flap on there and
right.
a
boom.
Yeah,
you
know, they're going to put Wes Harrison out of business, Chuck.
Okay, anything else, Bill?
What I did was, you know how when they open the door, you hear the creaking door and then all the stuff, you hear all the stuff falling out.
Oh, the Fibber McGee and Molly closet.
That's it.
And then you hear sort of a clanking at the end
mm-hmm.
where the last thing falls out of the closet.
The last thing that fell out was a little bell that tinkled, I think.
No, what I do is I drop an iron bar on the floor.
Oh.
And they
weren't quite, they're not quite as subtle as Fibber and Molly were. They? Thanks, Bill. Thanks for checking in with us tonight.
Goodbye.
We're talking with Tommy Bartlett, and he's our guest this evening on Radio Classics. We're going to Rogers Park now. We're going to say hello, Al.
Well, hi. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
Good evening, Al.
Good evening. Good evening. I was thinking about the past, and somehow your name is associated with, to me, while I was sitting here, with a radio program where you sang and played the piano. Then I began to say, hey, that wasn't
No,
Tommy
that was
Bartlett.
Two-Ton Baker.
That was Two-Ton Baker.
And I was the announcer.
Oh.
That was Picture Payday on WGN a million years ago.
Exactly.
I think Marconi set up the microphone for that show.
Because I said, hey, that guy's a great singer. Whatever happened to Two-Ton
Baker?
Well,
that was Two-Ton Baker.
You know, we lost Two-Ton Baker,
really?
Big Two-Ton Baker,
a
number of years ago.
Great
Wonderful
guy.
Man.
What
yeah.
about Harry Cogan? He used to live near me years ago, and his son, Ronnie. I don't know whatever happened to them.
Well, you know something
Harry,
about
Harry Cogan is gone now. His son...
long ago, I think.
His son is involved with the Shure Brothers microphone company.
Oh, in Evanston.
In Evanston, right. And as a matter of fact, I might even say that the Shure Brothers were kind enough to outfit the new Museum of Broadcast Communications with a complete microphone setup and the sound system for the Kraft Television Theater and for the broadcast studio. So it was very...
Very good.
Mr.
I can hardly hear you, so I'm going to say goodbye. But I really appreciate your show. It's a great one.
Thank you very much, Al.
Thank you.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye.
We got time for one or two more phone calls before we tune in to one of Tommy Bartlett's best programs. Of course, they were all great, I should say.
Thank
one
you.
Of the better
Some
of the
best. Some of them weren't.
Welcome Travelers coming up next. We're on the line now. We're going out to Lincolnwood now and say hello to Stu. Stu, are you there?
Yeah.
Go
Hi,
ahead.
Stu. Good evening.
A bunch of my friends were thinking about taking a trip this last summer, and the name the Dells hit town, and we decided that we went up there, and when we were up there, we had a lot of fun doing many things up there. But the greatest part of the trip was the Air and Water Show. It was fantastic. It was some of the special effects were very memorable, and people that have asked me recently, when they take a trip up to Wisconsin, I tell them definitely that's one thing that whether they're going to just be staying in the Dells or whether they're just passing by, that's a definite thing that they shouldn't miss.
Well, you're very, very kind.
It was really fantastic.
And how are you and I related?
Thank you. I was going to say thank you, Stu Bartlett. Right.
Thank you, Stu. Very
Thanks very much
sure.
for that.
Take
we appreciate
yourself.
It. It is a wonderful show up there.
Well,
and
thank you.
Anybody who wants to... a few days of fun in the sun and lots of things to do, a lot of activity, should get up to the Wisconsin Dells in general. And specifically, they want to see the Tommy Bartlett Sky, I'll never get this right, Ski, Sky, and Stage Show, right?
We've just taken back the solid gold.
Yeah, I know. It's gone. I lost it all. Two more phone calls before we get into another Welcome Travelers show. We're going to go up to Palos Park, talk to Naomi. Hello.
Hi, Tommy.
Hi, good evening, Naomi.
Good evening.
I once announced in your hometown, you still have the snow ski jump out there?
Oh, yes. It's
I used
marvelous.
To announce that
marvelous.
On the public address system.
Do you remember Date for Daddy?
Yes, I do remember Date for Daddy.
Did I get in trouble with that show?
Oh, really?
Sure, I cut school.
Can went we to discuss the... it on the air?
Yeah, and was picked.
You were picked as a Date for Daddy?
Yeah. That's many years ago. That's back in the 40s.
Do you remember where we sent you for dinner?
Oh, I think it was the Panther Room. Could that have been it?
I remember a Panther
Room.
Oh,
at the Sherman Hotel?
Yeah, Panther Room of the Sherman
yes,
House.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. But yeah. Anyway, it was a wonderful evening, but boy, did I get reprimanded for cutting school.
I can well imagine. How old were you?
I'm not telling.
That would be giving it away.
Very kind of you to call it.
Thanks, Naomi.
Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. Much success up there.
Pardon me?
Much success up there.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, ma'am.
We're moving along to Bensonville now. We're going to say hello to Lauren.
Hello?
Hi, Lauren. Good evening.
I want to ask Mr. Bartlett if he remembers his Sunday morning drives with his little red Porsche.
Yeah, that was my 356A Porsche. It was built in 1957, and I still have it.
And down Highway 66, a young man with his thumb out going to Bradley University at Peoria.
And I gave you a lift?
And a man that hadn't shaved that morning on Sunday out for a very relaxing
I had that Miami Vice look way back then.
Pardon?
I said I had that Miami Vice non-shaved look way back in then.
Likewise today, myself, and I imagine you took very many Sunday morning drives to relax, and this one morning, why, I was the young man that you drove almost down to Highway 116, and
my
we
goodness.
Had a nice talk. And
well, thank you.
I sort
thank
of
thank you for reminding me.
Pardon?
I said thank you for reminding me of that venture.
I sort of suspected the man that I was riding with was Tommy Bartlett, and finally I had enough courage to ask, and sure enough,
I'll be darned.
It was the famous Tommy Bartlett from Welcome Travelers.
I'll be darned. Well, I sure sure appreciate your bringing back that pleasant memory, and I sort of faintly remember that.
Well, thank you, and
did you get another ride? That's the important thing.
Yes, and we have been your show up in the Dells and have enjoyed it very much.
Thank you.
Nice
thank
talking
you so
with
much.
You.
Thanks very
good
much,
evening.
Lauren. Thank you, and good night. Well, now, don't touch that dial. We're going to be going back to 1953 and listening into a Welcome Travelers program. But I have to say, I think that Tommy Bartlett has done very well over the years with radio because in the course of a few minutes talking to listeners on the radio, we find out that you had a big Lincoln and you were driving a Porsche.
That's a tiny Porsche, that one.
Porsche means bucks, as far as I can see. But you deserve it, Tommy. You
thank
did
you.
So much to entertain so many of
thank
us.
Thank you.
We're going to listen in to Welcome Travelers in just a moment. You're listening to Radio Classics on WBBM News Radio 78. Our guest is Tommy Bartlett. I'm Chuck Shaden.
You know, it's not easy being a car radio in all this heat. You get to wear Bermuda shorts. Hey, let's go cool off with some of those new McDonald's Super Summer Sizes. Larger than large Coca-Colas, creamy shakes, a Super Summer Size order of McDonald's fries. They're only available for a limited time at participating McDonald's. So how about cruising through the cool shade of a McDonald's drive-thru? You know, car radios can't wear Bermuda shorts. I don't think that's fair.
There's no doubt our Chicago area has a past and present that can only be described as colorful. Each week we spotlight some of the people and events that contribute to making our area an interesting place to live and work by honoring a community of the week. This past week you found out all about the past, present, and future of West Chicago. To have your community considered, just contact our Community Relations Department at 951-3461. We keep you in touch with Chicago, WBBM News Radio 78.
And this is Chuck Shaden with Tommy Bartlett. Tommy, we're going to be tuning into one of your a good example of one of the Welcome Travelers broadcasts that started in the late 40s, 48 or 49, didn't it, the series?
Yes.
And this is a broadcast from 1953, April the 12th of 1953. The Tommy Bartlett Show we heard earlier was a sustaining program,
that's
meaning
right.
No sponsors. But Welcome Travelers, of course, was a big-time with a sponsor, Procter & Gamble, on behalf of... Cheer and Spick and Span,
Tide at Times,
Prell, Joy, all of that stuff. This is a broadcast that came from the College Inn of the Sherman House in Chicago, and you have a very well-known announcer on this show. You mentioned his name before.
Well, we've had Jim Amici, and this must be Ken Nordine.
Ken Nordine, right. And one thing also about this program I want to mention, it is filled with human interest stories, very sentimental program, and I think that you really achieved a very special magic with your participants in this show, and I think the audience could identify with you and with them as you brought out these warm human interest stories, which was part of this, the Welcome Travelers idea.
Well, that's very kind of you to say that.
Did this generate from an idea of yours?
No, the idea of Welcome Travelers was Brewster Morgan's. Procter & Gamble wanted me to do a show, and they kept wanting to send me to Los Angeles or to New York, and I said, no, I want to stay in Chicago. So Brewster Morgan was with the advertising agency in New York, and he dreamed up a show for me that could only be done out of Chicago.
And you met people who were traveling, going through the city, right?
Right.
All right, let's go back now to April the 12th of 1953 for Welcome Travelers.
This is Tommy Bartlett saying, wherever you are, welcome to Welcome Travelers. Friends, tried from the College Inn Porterhouse of the Hotel Chairman in Chicago, the new blue cheer and new spick and span present Welcome Travelers, the program that brings you actual stories, amusing, inspiring, unforgettable, of people just like you. Now Tommy Bartlett meets our first guest, who is Ronald McPherson of Napanee, Ontario.
Well, hi, Ronald.
Hi, Tommy.
This man grew up in a city of almost 500,000 people. All of his life, he'd heard and read about the joys of small-town living. He decided to make his home in a small town. If you're listening to us in your home in a small town, feel free to criticize his story. Now, if you're listening to us from your big city apartment, also feel free to criticize his story. Because you can't criticize him. The way he tells it is the way he lives it.
Well, thank you, Ken Nardine. And now, Ronald, you moved to the small town from the big city. Why did you do this?
Well, Tommy, I felt that the people in the city didn't really live. They just existed. I felt they spent so much time just moving around that they had hardly time to do the things they really wanted to do. So after I graduated, I went to see the dean of the College of Optometry in Toronto and asked him if he would suggest a small town where I might open a practice. He suggested a town of Napanee, Ontario, about 4,000 people, and I very eagerly went down there and opened an office.
And what did you hope to find in the small town?
Well, I hoped to find the contentment and happiness of an unhurried existence, Tommy.
Well, now, what did you find?
Well, I was a little disillusioned at first. I found that I began to resent some of the things that typify a small town. The prying into my affairs, the gossip, the what are you doing, where are you going atmosphere.
Do you have a specific instance of intrusion on your privacy, Ronald?
Well, Tommy, one time I went into a local liquor store to see the manager about renting his summer cottage. And that afternoon, a lady came into my office and said to me, I saw you coming out of the liquor store this afternoon, and I would suggest that if you want to make a success in this small town, that you not be seen in such places.
And here you were in there to rent a cottage.
That's right, sir.
How about another example, Ronnie?
Well, I was single at the time, Tommy, and I went to a party with a young lady whose name was Mary. A few days later, I asked another young lady if she would go with me to a hockey game, and she said she'd like to go very much, but she couldn't because I had been out with Mary.
Well, Ronald, what is it that changed your attitude toward small towns, finally?
Well, Tommy, I got in the Army. I was going to go back to the city, but I got in the Army, and while I was in the Army, I got to thinking a lot, and I realized that the prying into my private affairs was really a genuine interest in me. You see, in small towns, they don't have the diversions that they do in the cities, and therefore the people turn to interest in one another. And when I realized this, my resentment turned to admiration.
And what happened when you got out of the service, Mac?
Well, I went right back to Napanee, and I married the assistant tax collector.
You did?
I did. We have a family now, and I think a small town's a great place to bring up a family.
Dividends.
Dividends, right, Tommy. And, Tommy, I'm very proud to be a part of that community and of the wonderful people that live there and the warm friendship that they give you only in a small town.
How do you feel about raising a family in the small town?
Well, I think you have some more time to spend with the family. I know a story, a city friend of mine told me that when her husband came home on the weekend, she would say to them, children, this is your father. You must have heard me speak of him many times.
You're with your family constantly, aren't
yes,
you?
Yes, I am, Tommy.
I was just thinking how strange it must be that the realization of a dream often brings disillusionment before it brings happiness. But isn't that the way almost everything is?
Well, Tommy, Mr. McPherson said he wanted nothing for himself, but we do want him to give these gifts to his wife, a Miromatic electric percolator. The Miromatic percolator is completely automatic.
Hey, that's wonderful.
Also, she'll be able to prepare delicious foods with this Dormeyer Frywell, the automatic electric deep fryer.
That grand. I nearly bought one.
And I'm sure your wife will be pleased with these two bottles of Ciro's perfume, Ciro's Acclaim and New Horizons.
Oh, that's grand.
And your wife will also like this package of the new Blue Cheer, Procter & Gamble's exciting new wash day discovery. It gives the cleanest... Yes, it gives the cleanest, whitest wash possible.
And I think you should have these as a remembrance of your visit to Welcome Travelers. Cheney Jewelry, cufflinks, combination money clip, and tie clasp with tiny Canadian Navy compasses set in gold and silver by Guglielmo Cheney, the master craftsman. And we'd like you and your wife to have dinner this evening as our special guest at the famed Shangri-La restaurant.
Oh, we'd love to. Thank you very much, Tommy.
You're welcome. Very welcome indeed. We'll be back in just a moment, but first here's some news of the utmost importance. What kind of advertising do you do? No, I'm really serious. Every time your husband puts on a shirt, every time you send your youngster off to school, you're advertising the kind of housekeeper you are. So if you want to do some really good advertising, why, I advise you to try Procter & Gamble's new Blue Cheer. Cheer is made with an exclusive formula. It's the one and only wash day detergent of its kind. That's right, really different. For one thing, Cheer is blue. And man, it really works like blue magic. Blue magic. Whether you own an automatic washer of the regular type, a little Blue Cheer in your washer bursts into heaps of rich, bright, white suds that really get the dirt out of clothes. Give you the cleanest wash possible. And Cheer's formula has a blue magic whitener that gives you the whitest, brightest wash possible, too. Cheer guarantees you the cleanest, whitest, brightest wash possible, or double your money back. Every single thing in your family wash is duck soup for the new Blue Cheer. The heavy, greasy clothes and the delicate, washable colors and fabrics. Those lovely, creamy suds are nice to your hands, too. So ask for Cheer. C-H-E-E-R.
Now, Tommy, it's time to meet our next guest. Mrs. Marion Thomas of Salt Lake City, Utah.
Hello, Mrs. Thomas.
Good morning, Tommy.
Have you ever felt that your marriage and your family duties isolate you from the world? It really is a rather common feeling and has nothing to do with your duty or your love of family life. It's just a feeling that you can't help expressing because you're an individual. And as an individual, you are the owner of something called an ego. So you have the ego on one hand, love of family and duty on the other. Tommy, that's what this story is about.
Well, let's find out about the story, Ken. Mrs. Thomas, does your story start before or after your marriage?
Oh, it starts before. I thought things ended when you got married.
How did you feel about children coming into the family?
That was pretty much the end of everything then. You were stuck at home.
Well, what happened after your marriage, Marion?
I found out how wrong I was. I discovered that living was just beginning with marriage. You didn't have to be single or married and a career wife to go on living.
Well, why were you so concerned about getting married in the first place, then?
Well, I think probably because my mother and father had what I considered an ideal relationship. He was a college president for 30 years, and she helped him in all the ways an intelligent woman can help any man in his profession. And I thought I couldn't duplicate that, and I wouldn't settle for less. So I went on and went to school and got a degree in social work and music, and then went to New York in the New York Public Library. I did children's work with storytelling and the various things that go under the guise of librarianship. And after that, I was on the Dean of Women's staff at the University of Washington when war was declared, and that made me decide to go in the Red Cross. And I was a recreation director attached to the Navy on the West Coast.
What kind of work did you do then?
Everything, all kinds of things, many of which I couldn't do, I found myself teaching, from crocheting and weaving and doing hand skills, which I had no experience with, to teaching piano to paraplegics.
Well, good for you, Marion. Didn't you think of marriage at all at this time?
Oh, of course I did. But I didn't think I was going to get what I wanted, so I thought I'd have to settle for no marriage at all. But when I was 28, I met a young doctor who was a brilliant mind, an inquiring mind, and we were married.
And have been happily married ever since.
Yes, but I didn't get married with that Cinderella myth in mind, that you got married and settled down and lived happily ever afterwards. I found out it was just the beginning.
Well, when did you know that everything was going to be all right, that getting married wasn't a jail sentence for the lady in the house?
I think I really knew it when our children came. We have four, Christy 8, Gloria 5 1/2, little Danny's just over 2, and 3 weeks ago we had our second boy.
What's his name?
His name's Danny. His name's Matthew. He's new, you see. We don't know him very well.
Well, where's Matthew today?
Matthew's at home in Salt Lake. Yeah. I'm missing him.
Of course you are, and I bet he's missing Mother, too. How do you feel about young children generally, Marion?
Well, I had had no use for dolls when I was little, and so I thought I wouldn't like little babies, especially the little wiggly size. But I found out how wrong I was. You know, they're born smarter than we are, and from then on, it's a race to keep anywhere near even with them. As a matter of fact, I would like to tell you about little Matthew. He, just 3 weeks ago, we had a very exciting experience with him when he was born, because we decided to do it the natural childbirth way, with very little drugs and staying completely conscious. And so I saw him before he ever even breathed or anything, and it was extremely exciting.
I can imagine that would be a thrilling experience you'll never forget. Are there any other experiences that you found a challenge and, as you say, exciting, Marion?
Well, they're happening all the time, but right now we're in the middle of building our own house with our own hands. Two summers ago, I drove 10,000 nails myself in the roof of the house, part of the time with my little six-month-old Danny in a playpen beside me.
Up on the roof?
On the roof. It's a flat roof. But building this house was a real learning experience, and it just pointed out my theory that you always go on learning as long as you keep alive and want to.
Well, Tommy, we've been thinking about some gifts for Mrs. Thomas's wonderful children, ranging in age from 2 weeks to 8 years. Now, for the baby boy, who was born just 2 weeks ago, a complete layout of Wilson's infant wear, sacks, shirts, gowns, and kimonos, and a large assortment of Plaky toys, including the Plaky jump-up gym and rings.
How swell he'll be.
Well, the older children will have great fun on this universal Gym Dandy all-steel play gym, complete with the Gym Dandy sky scooter, two-place jumping swing, gym rings, and trapeze bars.
How wonderful.
Yes, the Gym Dandy is approved by Parents Magazine. Here, too, is a big box of new Spick and Span, America's famous once-over cleaner. And the children are going to benefit from this throughout their school years, we hope. It's the Encyclopedia Americana.
How marvelous. We'd love to have it.
Now, these 30 volumes of authoritative reference information contain over 10,000 photographs, drawings, and maps. And the Encyclopedia Americana is endorsed by leading educators. And cooking for your family will be a pleasure on this Super 60 Tappan gas range. I know that you'll appreciate Tappan's exclusive... You're excited.
Oh, my word.
I know that you'll appreciate Tappan's exclusive time-saving features, and the Tappan range will give you cooking and baking at its best. And before you leave Chicago, we'd like you to have luncheon at Elmo Linton's Club St. Elmo.
I'm overwhelmed. I really am.
Well, nice to have you with us, Marion Thomas from Salt Lake City, Utah. Here is some good advice.
Life's a lot nicer with new Spick and Span in the house, because now it's once over with new Spick and Span, and my linoleum looks beautifully, spotlessly clean.
It's true what the lady says. New Spick and Span cleans linoleum cleaner twice as fast, twice as easy as soap or the latest detergents. With new Spick and Span, it's just once over with a damp mop or cloth, and your floor dries instantly. Grease, sticky dirt, even heel marks vanish. You don't have to scrub or rinse or wipe dry. Just once over with new Spick and Span, dirt's gone, job's done. And the minute you're finished, you can walk on the floor, wax it, or move the furniture back.
What's more, no soap, no detergent, no leading cleaner is so mild to hands, yet cleans as efficiently. So next time you clean your linoleum, remember, new Spick and Span cleans linoleum twice as fast, twice as easy as soap or the latest detergents. Just once over with new Spick and Span, your floor dries instantly, beautifully, evenly clean.
Just just once over, lightly, with new Spick and Span. No rinsing, no wiping. Once over, it's grand.
And that's Tommy Bartlett himself doing the Spick and Span commercial back in 1953. This is a tape of the Welcome Travelers show from Tommy Bartlett's own collection, broadcast April the 12th of 1953. We'll continue with that in just a moment. You're listening to Radio Classics on WBBM News Radio 78. I'm Chuck Shaden.
Hi there, it's me, your radio. Just station hopping to find a McDonald's Super Summer Size commercial.
We're serving up something big and new. A super summer size big shake.
Kinda catchy, huh?
A bigger Coca-Cola, huge order of fries. That's why they're called Super Summer Size.
Are you hungry yet?
It's McDonald's Super Summer Sizes for a limited time at participating McDonald's.
So what do you say we go to McDonald's and participate?
That's McDonald's!
Summertime, serving up summertime.
If you thought that tax shelters became extinct when the government's recent tax laws were enacted, you'd better think again, because one outstanding tax shelter that survived is the tax-deferred annuity, and it's being offered by Cragen Federal Savings. You see, with an annuity, your investment funds will earn a high rate of interest that's deferred from state and federal income taxes until withdrawn. What's more, the interest rates of annuities are usually higher than those of CDs, and that rate is guaranteed for the first year by the insurance company who underwrites the annuity contract. Another important plus, you pay absolutely no opening administration fees or yearly charges. Best of all, you can make deposits anytime. Without a doubt, an annuity can provide a substantial benefit in so many situations. So call Cragen at 889-1000 or visit their nearest location to find out the current interest rate and to learn how an annuity can work for you. Cragen Federal Savings, now over $2 billion in assets.
At Just Bill's award-winning restaurant in Calumet City, everything from grandmother's chicken dumpling soup to luscious cheesecake with fresh strawberries are prepared daily. Owner and chef Bill Keegan serves 7 luncheon specials, including his famous drunken chicken for only $4.75. Just Bill's drunken chicken is a boneless breast of chicken sautéed in butter and wine. Other luncheon specials include pepper steak, baked scrod, vegetable lasagna, linguine and clam sauce, and spaghetti made from a 50-year-old Italian recipe, all for only $4.75 at lunch. Chef Bill Keegan serves prime steaks cut to order, and Just Bill's fresh lake perch and jumbo shrimp, both pan-fried in butter, are the best you'll find in the Chicago area. Just Bill's famous barbecue ribs are slow-cooked the old-fashioned way over real hickory wood. Just Bill's restaurant is located at 157th Street and Burnham Avenue in Calumet City. Look for the sign with the drunken chicken.
That's just plain Bill, right? That's the sign of the drunken chicken. Okay, Tommy Bartlett is our guest, and we're listening to a Welcome Travelers broadcast from April of 1953. Ken Nordine, a virtual Chicago institution, is the announcer on this show, but he wasn't the regular announcer, was he?
No, the regular announcer was Jim Amici, and the producer, almost co-MC of the show, was Bob Cunningham, who's living in Florida right now.
Uh-huh. So Bob normally would be on the show.
That's right.
But he's not on here because maybe on vacation or something
like
that.
And bless Ken Nordine's heart, why the show doesn't seem the same without Bob Cunningham.
Well, that's the expert telling us right there. Let's get back now to Welcome Travelers.
Attention! Welcome Travelers, bus for Midway Airport. TWA Transworld Airline Constellation, 300 miles an hour for San Francisco.
Well, Tommy, it's time now to meet Miss Alice Mulligan of New York City. Hello, Alice.
Hello, Tommy.
Well, chances are, if you could see this young lady, you'd know her face because it's been in many, many magazines. In the magazine, she was probably advertising a fancy hairdo, an elegant hat, or a stunning necklace. She models only items that can be worn about the neck or on her head. But the most important thing she wears is courage. You see, she's the only model in the country who works from a wheelchair. Well, now, Alice Mulligan, I wonder if you'd tell us what put you in the wheelchair in the first place.
Well, about 5 years ago, I was stricken with multiple sclerosis. And it was at that time that I just started modeling.
Well, multiple sclerosis is a very serious illness. How did it affect you?
Oh, I was almost completely paralyzed. And at that time, my family doctor took an interest in my case, and he was working with me for quite a long time, and he had me almost, well, I felt as if I were almost well again, but of course, Unfortunately, he died, and I knew my legs weren't strong enough to hold me, and I couldn't really walk on them. So I realized I had to be confined to a wheelchair. And golly, when that happened, I just felt real awful, and it took me a while before I was able to go out into the streets again, but when I did, I even felt the feeling that I just wanted the ground to swallow me. It was pretty hard to take.
Well, we sympathize with you, Alice. We can imagine just how you felt. What decided you on going out into the world once again?
Well, my mother was sick, and my Aunt Margaret had to go to work for us. So I realized that, well, golly, there must be something I can do to sort of earn some sort of a living toward helping out in the family home. So it was then that I started to think that maybe I could make connections, that I would be able to get some sort of a job.
Well, how did you get started on the road back?
Well, fortunately, Bellevue Hospital Rehabilitation Service in New York accepted me, and I stayed there for about 9 months. And your program there consists of going on mat classes and exercising of the legs and physical therapy and all sorts of things that go on like that, both mentally and physically. And, of course, they teach you to walk on braces and crutches. And fortunately, I was able to get pretty good at them. Now I can do almost a block now. Of course, I have a long way to go yet, but at least I feel as if it's nice to be standing up talking to people instead of having to look up at them all the time.
I do wish our listeners could see this charming, lovely, beautiful face that we are having the pleasure of watching with a great deal of pleasure today. How did you finally get back to modeling, Alice, where you belong?
Well, down at Bellevue, an x-ray technician took some photos of me, and they were sent out to different agencies through the staff of Bellevue. And one agency was interested in me, and they took me, and before you knew it, I was getting calls for catalog work where they used the live face, and they either sketched in the dress or the suit was ever going to be used, and then started on jewelry and hats. And then all of a sudden, I realized I was right back where I had started from. But this time I knew I had courage I didn't even know I had. And then all of a sudden, well, I just guess I got to live with what I, you know, I realized I had to live with what I had. And I guess there's a lot of women like that in the world.
Alice, what magazines and advertising matter has your face appeared in?
Well, I've been in Sears Roebuck and Montgomery Ward. And just recently I was in Glamour magazine.
Isn't that fine? Well, Alice, you've proved an old but always exciting realization that the answer to problems is so often within a person himself, in this case, herself.
Tommy, Alice's sister is traveling with her, and I think we should have a gift for her.
Right.
And I'm quite sure she'll be pleased with this Nardis of Dallas ensemble, including blouses, skirts, and a suit styled in Nardis of Dallas new spring fabric. And Alice, we'll be sending you a Nardis of Dallas ensemble, too. And Alice, to keep your hair more radiantly alive, here are two tubes of the new Prel shampoo. Also for each of you, a Samsonite ladies wardrobe case in Samsonite's new saddle tan. Alice, we know you can use this in your work. A huge basket, and it's filled with Primrose House cosmetics in Primrose House latest fashion tones. And here is a smart, fashion-right, hand-tailored, completely fitted Evans handbag. Among the fittings is the new Evans automatic lighter.
And as a special remembrance of your visit to Welcome Travelers, we'd like you to have this attractive, dependable Whitnor watch. A distinguished member of the Longines Whitnor family of truly fine watches. And we're also going to send a Longines Whitnor watch to your aunt, who's helped you and mother so very much. And Alice, you'll enjoy many hours of listening pleasure with this VM Triomatic portable phonograph.
Oh, thank you.
Now, it's in an attractive, lightweight case. The VM Triomatic phonograph features the long-lasting Jensen Diamond stylus, and it plays 33, 45, 78 RPM records. And before you leave Chicago, Alice, we'd like you and your sister to have luncheon in the beautiful College Inn Porterhouse of the Hotel Sherman. And then around noon, we're going to put you aboard a TWA, Transworld Airlines, 300-mile-an-hour Constellation. You'll be at LaGuardia Field in New York in just 2 hours plus 45 minutes.
All right, thank you all with all my heart.
Well, you're very welcome, Alice Mulligan from New York City.
Here they are, friends, five charming ladies from the studio audience to judge an exciting shampoo test. Hi, ladies. May I have your names and hometowns, please?
Janet Gray, Carson City, Nevada. This is Emma Armitage, Fairfield, Idaho.
Miss Clara Harkins, Yakima, Washington.
This is Cecil Gilmore, Creekville, Oregon.
Norma Beers, Grand Island, Nebraska.
You know, we men admire women with radiantly lovely hair. But I'll tell you a secret. We like to be admired, too. So get new Prel shampoo for the men in your family and the children, too. Now I want you to see for yourself what new Prel can do for your hair. Just take a good look at this model's hair. Examine both sides. One side was washed with new Prel in hard water. The other side washed exactly the same way with a famous shampoo of another type. The studio audience knows which is the new Prel side, but you don't. Now you've had a good look, so tell me which side looks more radiantly alive.
The left side.
The left side.
The left side.
Definitely the left.
Left.
It's the left side. And again, 5 out of 5 have chosen the new Prel side. New Prel ladies wins in test after test because new Prel leaves hair more radiantly alive. More radiant than any leading cream or soap shampoo. Yes, and new Prel is more economical, too, because it's concentrated in a tube. You get more shampoos ounce for ounce and more radiance in every shampoo. So get new Prel for the whole family. Yes, for radiantly alive, soft, smooth, younger-looking hair, buy new Prel shampoo today.
That's Tommy Bartlett for Prel Shampoo.
Yes, and auditioning for commercials.
You really sold that stuff, Tommy. You really...
well, in those days, they had the principals doing doing commercials, which they don't do anymore.
Well, one of the reasons they don't do it anymore is, talk about television now, is that the shows are, they're not usually sponsored by a single company.
Oh, that's right.
And they're almost, every show they do has got to have an afterlife in rerun someplace. So they don't get you into it. Early television shows, I mean, this Welcome Travelers was on TV, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, for 6 years.
And was it ever simulcast, radio and television,
for
at the same time?
For a couple of years, it was simulcast. Uh-huh. And I have a feeling that this might have been a simulcast show.
The audio track from a TV show.
Incidentally, mm-hmm. at times, the young lady, we washed one side of her hair with such and such, and one side of her hair with Prel, mm-hmm. was Kim Novak for about 3 months.
No kidding.
Yes.
Did they actually do
You're bringing
that?
Bringing back all kinds
of
memories.
Oh, cascading memories this evening. Did they actually wash the model's hair
very,
in front
very
of the
carefully.
Audience?
And some government agency made sure that we did this correctly.
Well, truth in advertising,
yes,
I guess.
Absolutely.
Although they probably didn't call it. How much? It was Procter and Gamble who was the sponsor of this show. Now they paid an agency, the advertising agency, to produce this. Is that it?
Yes, and the interesting thing was we changed agencies every 13 weeks. So Procter & Gamble had sort of an ombudsman to protect the talent.
Mm-hmm.
So the talent never had to fight with the agencies. Every new agency wanted to change the show
mm-hmm,
completely,
mm-hmm.
but the ombudsman for Procter & Gamble would see that that would not happen. They had a marvelous system in those days.
How much interference did either Procter & Gamble or the agency have in the actual day-to-day
the
production?
Editorial?
Yeah.
None whatsoever.
Nothing?
No.
In other words, the sponsor says, this is the show we want, they're doing it right, let's let them do it, right?
They had censors in those
mm-hmm.
days. We never had a thing changed in the script in 9 or 10 years. Never one thing.
Did you ever have any problems that we can talk about on the radio?
We had problems, happened? But we cannot talk about them on the radio.
Contestants would make a statement that was a problem or something didn't go right, things went wrong, right?
Yes, we had all
live radio,
live radio. There wasn't
TV.
A darn thing we could do about
mm-hmm.
it. And that was the wonderful thing about the television show, because when that curtain parted, and I could see that, they didn't have, Zoom shots
mm-hmm.
in those days.
Mm-hmm.
The old camera, you could see it dollying
yeah.
in, and you knew that 10, 15 million people were watching you. And if you said the bad word, it stuck.
It was there. Did you ever say the bad word?
Never said the
Never
bad
said
word.
It. What was, in your long broadcasting career, can you think back of one of maybe many outstanding moments that you can recall that had a special meaning for you?
Well, when we did the audition of Welcome Travelers, we needed a celebrity to be our celebrity guest on the show. And Danny Thomas came all the way from Los Angeles to the big Studio A again. We're always going back to Studio A over in the Merchandise Mart. And he did that audition for me gratis and even paid his own expenses because he was so fond of me and Les Lear. And by the way, the person who did on the tape, on the broadcast that we just finished, who did the board thing, that was Les Lear. And he was an unbelievable partner that I had. Just a great guy. He's no longer with us.
He did a lot of audience participation work in the Chicago area.
Person. Mm-hmm. He helped me an awful lot. In fact, my whole life, I have a great debt to people who helped me. Starting with Mr. Atlas here at WBBM. He was manager of the station and part owner of the station years ago. I would have gotten nowhere at all without a lot of help from a lot of wonderful people, and I salute them and thank them now.
Well, on behalf of them, their faith in you, of course, was well proven because of the many things that you did.
We had a wonderful time.
Yeah, it was a good period of time, wasn't it?
The golden days of radio were just absolutely fantastic.
Now, you walked in this evening, and I know you were on Dave Baum's show Friday evening, talking a lot about amusement parks and things of that nature.
Yes.
And tonight was your second trip in 3 or 4 days to the McClurg Court Studios of WBBM.
You know, we've
WBBM.
Been on the air 2 hours, and we haven't repeated one thing that we did on the Dave Baum show.
Well, that's
show.
Good. That's good. Mm-hmm. Because I don't like him to use my stuff. Of course, I don't want to use his stuff either. But would you take a minute to tell us to describe the WBBM studios in the Wrigley Building when you first got there?
Well, I just walked by the Wrigley Building today, and the first thing that really impresses you is that gorgeous copper or brass work, whatever it is, on the outside that they polish every day. And I went over, and I took a hold of the door handle, or the push bar on the door, and I thought of all the people who would probably grasp that door bar. Like Frank Sinatra, I remember seeing him going into the building when he was at the height of his young singing career. And I remember Somerset Maugham coming in, the famous author who wrote Moon and Sixpence. And I'm thinking of Merton Marge, who probably went through those doors. They did the Wrigley Show for years and years. Tom Shirley was their announcer. And I thought of Pat Flanagan, who was the announcer at WBBM, who did the Cub games, and his lovely wife Hazel, who, by the way, still works for Gene Autry out at KOOL out in Phoenix. And there were just so many remarkable and wonderful talent. I remember Francis X. Bushman. He was the one who did the original Ben-Hur, and at the age of 80 was doing soap operas in Chicago, and he was just in perfect shape. I remember he used to do push-ups every morning just before he went on the air so that he had that wonderful tone to his being. But I remember all those remarkable and wonderful people. I remember H.V. Kaltenborn, the famous news commentator, and we'd never know when he was going to show up for his Saturday Night Network radio show. He'd either be in Minneapolis or in Chicago or New York or Los Angeles or Philadelphia, one of the owned and operated CBS stations, and he would appear with the little 2x5 card with 3 notes on it. Well, anyway, he went to the gentleman's room 2 minutes before the air. Johnny Fuller was the announcer or the engineer. You probably remember him here. We heard pounding on the door. The door handle had come off on the inside of the men's room of the Wrigley Building CBS studio. And Kaltenborn didn't know how he was going to get to the studio. So Johnny Fuller put an extension on the microphone, ran the cord down the hall to the men's room. We told HB to stand on top of the waste paper container. And I remember his sticking his head out of the trance and saying, "Good evening, everybody. HB Kaltenborn from Chicago." And he did his whole show reading his little notes from the inside of the men's room, standing on the waste paper container, sticking his head out of the what did I call that?
The transom?
The transom, yeah.
Some wonderful memories.
Lots of wonderful memories.
I hope you'll write a book sometime.
Well, I'd love to do that. But most of all, I would like to pay a tribute to Mr. Atlas at WBBM, because without him, I never would have made it. And without this station, I wouldn't be where I am today.
Well, thank you very much, WBBM. Thank you, Tommy Bartlett. That's about it for now. The old clock on the studio wall says it's time to go. We'll be back again tomorrow at 8 o'clock with some more great radio classics here on WBBM in Chicago. Tomorrow night, it's Orson Welles night with The Third Man and the Black Museum. Thanks to Jane Browder, our producer tonight. Be sure to stay tuned for Dave Baum right after the news. This is Chuck Shaden. It's been a wonderful evening. Thanks for listening.